I guess it is my turn. Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well. Hey, look, give somebody a wave and a smile, one that says, hey, man, it really is good to be in the house of the Lord with brothers and sisters in Christ, and good to be with you, good to see you. And again, we greet our online audience, those that are tuning in today. I know my mom is. Hey, Mom, good morning, because she is out of her town, but I know she's watching today. But we're so glad that you're part of our service today as well. And as always, be sure to greet our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is there with you monitoring the online audience. One of the best note takers I have ever seen in my life. I always like to go back and read Dr. Cazito's notes on my sermon so I can learn something along the way. I really appreciate all that he does, and we're so glad to have this opportunity to be able to be together, to worship together. We trust and pray that as we have come into the Lord's house today, we have done so to not only greet each other, but to meet the Lord in this place today. Also, before I begin in a word of prayer, I want to mention that the flowers that you see up here today are in honor of Roger Howerton, given by his family. What a beautiful life, what a beautiful man, what a pillar of our community. And yesterday we had to say, I'll see you later, but we will get the chance to see him again. Continue to pray for Roger's family, for Don Reed, for Anthony, for Annette, and then all the children, as well as grandchildren, great-grandchildren down the line. What a tremendous legacy. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you once again, we do so seeking you. Father, we're grateful that we seek you because you first sought us. And Lord, today as we gather together, we pray that you will help us to truly clear our hearts and minds, and that we might be receptive to your will, that we might be receptive to the message that you have for us today. Lord, as we lift our voices in song in just a moment, I pray, Father, that that it will move us in worship closer to you, that we would forget about the cares of life, that we would forget about what the rest of the day holds and schedules and everything. And Lord, that for the moments that we're here together, that we would concentrate solely upon you and what your word is for us individually today. So, Lord, we know you're going to be here. The word tells us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. Lord, we're grateful. We love you. We pray that you will speak to us, and Lord, you will draw us close today. As always, Father, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, we pray that today truly would be the day that all of the saints in heaven would rejoice over the saving of that soul. So, Lord, right now we just ask that you be with us in a special way, and Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Please stand with me as we sing 206, Blessed Be the Name.
Thank you.
Please join me as we sing 337, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Had those times where you just go on a rant? Yeah. You know, there's a difference between an explanation and a rant. And at times, I believe all of us have those moments where we go on a rant. You ever had those moments in your life? I know I sure have. You know, and it just seems like you just can't seem to come up for air. Well, you know what? I don't exactly know if this is a rant or not that that we're going to look at today, but I could very easily see this being a rant, not just a teaching moment, but a rant. So if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. So grab your Bible and look on over in there. We're going to be looking at, once again, a writing from the Apostle Paul, and I would say that probably he would be considered arguably one of the greatest preachers that there ever was. We know his story pretty much from the very beginning, from the time when he was Saul and when he was persecutor of Christians until he made what I call the lightning transition. You know, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he went from one of the greatest Christian persecutors to preacher in the matter of a couple of days. And I've said before, I don't know if I would wanted to have attended Paul's first sermon, because I'd have probably thought it was a setup. Yeah, I mean, he had papers and everything from the government saying that he could round up Christians. So Paul, as he has gone forward, as he's gone forward in his walk, as he has gone forward preaching, as he has gone teaching, he runs into something that he explains. Now, like I said, in a moment, the scriptures we're going to look at, I'm not saying that they're a rant, but in my book, it would have been a rant, and it would have been a good rant. Because have you ever done something and you've gotten frustrated, but you've gotten frustrated with yourself? It's not that you got frustrated with anybody else, but you got frustrated with yourself. Because, you know, let me give this, will be a guy example, but I know that there have been times in my life where I've been tightening a bolt or something. And I get down there and I sit back and say, do I need to tighten this just a little bit tighter? Or is it good like it is? Now, for me, I sit back and go, yeah, a little bit tighter might be good. All right, where are my guys out here been where I am? What happens 100% of the time? Boom. You put that last little bit on it, and then you ring the bolt off. You cause yourself so many things, and then you start to say to yourself, "I knew I shouldn't have done that. I've been talking. I tried to talk myself out of it." Then you got all this work to do. Now it's really worse today because everything's plastic. I remember changing a shower head back a couple years ago, and I did all the right stuff. I put the Teflon tape on it, and I screwed it on there. In my day and age, we had to use wrenches to tighten stuff up. Now you don't. You put a wrench on this plastic stuff, it's gone. I hand-tightened it and broke the shower head. Had to go buy another one. I'm like, so you get frustrated. You're sitting there going, I know these things. Now, how does that become something spiritual? Because you know what, folks? There's a lot of things that you and I know, and you and I, as born-again believers, have the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. And how many times in our lives have we had a thought, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't think I'd do that. You ought not do that. And yet, what do? We do that. And then here's what happens. We don't get mad at God, we get mad at ourselves, or we get frustrated. I like to use that word better. We get frustrated with ourselves, don't we? Sure we do. Well, today, we're going to look at something that Paul was explaining, and he starts, I mean, it through some of his writings, he gets very personal about his own journey and his own walk. Let's just say that he becomes very transparent about his struggles. I titled this morning's message, The Struggle. And the reason why is because each and every one of us deal with this exact same struggle. Look with me, if you would, in God's Word, at Romans chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading at verse 15. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. It says, let me give you a little preview and a little caveat here. I call this one of those tongue twister. In the New King James or in the King James, this is kind of a tongue twister. You know, kind of like one of those deals that you got to slow down when you read it because it's, you know, one of those situations where you're like, okay, well, all right. So I'm going to read it slow so y'all can listen slow, okay? Here we go. Romans 7, beginning with verse 15, it says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Can I hear an amen? You know what I'm talking about? Now you understand where I'm. Now you see why I said this could be a rant. All right, verse 16. "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Verse 19, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Okay? Let me pray with you and give you a translation on that. All right, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. And as we come together today, Lord, we desire to seek you. We desire to find you. Lord, we know that you're here. You're not trying to keep yourself hidden from us at any stretch of the imagination. But today, Father, for these few moments, I pray that your words would resonate within our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak loudly and clearly to each and every one of us. And that, Lord, we would go away from here encouraged. Lord, that we would go away from here realizing that the battles that we face and the struggles that we have are not just personal to us. Every person goes through this. So, Father, right now, use me as your messenger for these moments today that you might be uplifted. And, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I said a minute ago, I'm going to give you a Roy translation. Call it a paraphrase. Call it whatever you want about these scriptures that we just read. It's real easy. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do and that I shouldn't do, and I can't do the things that I know that I should do? You ever been there? Now you see why I said this could almost be considered like a rant. If it's me, I rant. Do you rant? Do you sit back? You've gone down the road in the car and you're sitting there going, oh, why did I do this? I know I wasn't supposed to do this. I shouldn't have done this, but yet I did. I knew this. And that's the frustrating part. The frustrating part is it's not something we did accidentally. The Holy Spirit already told us, I wouldn't do that. And yet we turned around and did it. Just like we told ourselves, don't tighten that bolt any further. Snap. You know, now I don't know what it's like in the ladies' realm, but I'm sure that you guys do that as well. You I'm not going to say that. I'm going to get in trouble if I say that. Let's just say that all of us are told sometimes about something we shouldn't do, and we do it anyway. And then all these godly husbands around here never say, I told you so. Never. Most of the time you might be going, I thought we had a conversation about this. So you can see where the frustration factor comes in our life. Now, I will tell you that if you have followed the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever, you have found yourself in this struggle. Some of you are sitting back going, a whole lot more often than I want to find myself in it. And you get frustrated with yourself. And you actually feel bad because there's conviction in your heart about what you have done that you shouldn't have done, that you knew you shouldn't have done. And yet here is one of the greatest preachers of all time, one of the arguably one of the greatest Christians to ever walk the planet, who is explaining in transparency that he has this struggle as well. So now I want us to look. I'm going to pull one particular verse out of this passage that we looked at today, which is actually verse 18, chapter 7, verse 18. where he goes on, he says this. He says, for I know that in me, and I always like how, notice that's in parentheses. There's that what follows, it's in parentheses. So he says, for I know that in me, and he is saying, that is in my flesh. Now, a lot of us have times, praise the Lord, most of us had the privilege of growing up in church or a godly home, and we understand what that means when he is saying, in my flesh. But you know what? There's a lot of people who didn't grow up in church. There's a lot of people who do not understand what that is talking about right there. So you see, each and every one of us were born with a sinful nature. You didn't have to go seeking it. You didn't have to go see if you could find it. You didn't have to acquire it. You got it when you were born. In fact, I will go back and even say you got it at conception. When your DNA was formed, you had a sin nature. That's what that's saying. Why? How do we know that? We got that from the fall of man. We got that from the fall of Adam and Eve back in Genesis. Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you have to teach a kid how to be mean? Do you have to teach a kid how to do wrong? No, they're born with that nature. Every one of us are born with that sin nature. Okay, so that's what he's talking about when he is talking about in the flesh. But something incredible happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Something amazing takes place when we realize that we are sinners and that we are on our way to hell, and without Jesus, we will spend all of eternity in hell. And a lot of people always accuse me of trying to scare people into heaven. I said, I don't care how you get there, just get there. And hell ought to scare you. I will say that. But then that fleshly sinful nature, when you confess it before Jesus, realizing and believing what he accomplished through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and you say, Lord, I don't want to be lost anymore. I don't want to be worldly anymore. I want to trust you. And Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul. And we become covered with the blood of the Lamb. Every sin, past, present, and future, is forgiven. It is washed away by the blood of the Lamb. That's a great concept, isn't it? That's a victorious concept that I think we have allowed to become weak in our churches, and we have allowed it to become weak within who we are. Man, salvation is a fantastic privilege. And yet, I sit back and I think about the fact that when we come to know Jesus, here is the problem. You ready for the problem? The problem is the old sinful nature doesn't just go away. You know, it would be nice if it was like a genie and you say, Lord, I trust you, and the old sinful nature's gone. And all the old things, the stuff, the thoughts, the temptations, the things that we shouldn't be looking at. It'd be nice if all that just disappeared, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. He says, for I know that in me, and he's talking about, well, that's why he puts the little caveat there, that is in my flesh, my personal being, nothing good dwells. Nothing. Do you realize that even, the word tells us that even our righteousness before the Father is as filthy rags. He said, nothing within my flesh that dwells is good. He says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. In other words, what he's saying is simply this. I know that I should do what is good. I know that I should do what is biblical and what is righteous and what is right. I know I should do these things. But I have trouble with that. How many of y'all have trouble with that? Now listen, I mean, you know, hey, temptation is all around. I mean, how many times have things happened? I shared with you one time before, I said, you know, when I was a police officer, we did a raid one time, and I would give the preacher all the money. That's a dangerous statement right there. So you collect the evidence on the money. And you know, here's the thing. They said, well, because you're honest. I kept thinking, well, are you saying all the rest of the guys around me aren't? So I rode down from the raid to the police station. Nobody knew how much money was there. The people that we confiscated it from didn't even know how much was there. I know how much was there after I had to count it to submit it to evidence. It was $80,000 in $20 bills back in 1990. That's a lot of money. Do you think that Satan said to me, hey, that sitting in the seat is about a decade's worth of your salary? See, now it's in good hands. Boy, Satan is good at his job, isn't he? You know what he said? He said, that's drug money. You could take that and you could do something wholesome and healthy with it. You could give it to the church. Do you think Satan goes there? Oh, yes. Yeah, he goes there. And I kept thinking to myself, there ain't no way. I know I'm not supposed. I shouldn't even be thinking about it. Thank God the police station was close by. And thank God that the first thing that I said was, I need somebody to meet me in the Sally Port because somebody's got to watch me. Now, they thought it was for wholesome things. They thought it was because, oh, yes, he wants to be above reproach. Well, that's cool and that's right, too, but I kept thinking, if somebody's watching me, I'm going to do a whole lot better, right? Well, here's another sermon for another day, but that's why accountability spiritually is a phenomenal thing. Because we always do better when somebody is watching. So Paul's going, why is it that I do the stuff I shouldn't do and I don't do the stuff that I should do? Stuff's a real spiritual word, isn't it? But that's basically what he's saying. See, the book of Romans, like we mentioned, is written by the Apostle Paul. And man, what a thesis that he has in this particular passage, and particularly the verse that we're looking at. See, the struggle is about the internal battle that every believer faces. Did you hear me? Every believer faces this internal struggle that we have every single day that we get up, every single day that we take a breath, every single day when we go out into the world. And Paul is openly sharing his challenges. You know why? Because you know what? A lot of people probably looked back and said, Paul is one of the strongest Christians that I know. Paul has put it out there on the line like nobody else, and yet he struggles with this? You know, sometimes what happens is being able to hear that and somebody saying, listen, if Paul struggles with it, then I don't feel so bad about the fact that I struggle with it. Now, I want to insert something in here. That doesn't mean that it's okay. And when I say okay, that's not an excuse for us to continue down an errant path. Sometimes there's a statement that I get what people are saying, but sometimes I don't like to hear this. When people sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm not what I was, but thanks be to God. They say, I'm not what I should be, but thanks be to God, I'm not like I was. I get what they're saying when they say that. But too many times what happens is we allow that to become the excuse for us to be where we are, the excuse to not move forward, and we got to stop that. It's okay for you to get a little frustrated with yourself because the struggle is overwhelming you. But there are ways to be able to overcome it. And I'm going to give you some really good news in a minute, so just bear with me, okay? There really is some good news in this passage. I promise you. But see, Paul is openly sharing about his challenges, and he's revealing that even the great apostle struggled with sin. See, the thing that's interesting is that when we come to know Jesus, that doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. That just means that the Lord convicts us when we do. He convicts us before we go down that path, but we're knuckleheads. We don't listen. But when we go down that path, he provides forgiveness for us. Thanks be to God. But he's sitting there going, listen, I struggle with this. And if you're out there today thinking that you are the only one struggling with this, because our natural humanistic tendency is we want to hide that. We don't want nobody to know we struggle. We want to come into church going, hey, I know all the words to the hymn we sang a little while ago. I didn't have to look at the words. I'm spiritual because I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a whatever. And you know what? There are times that we look at people in our lives and we look at them as spiritual heroes. I will promise that every one of you has said in your life about somebody else, man, I wish my spiritual walk was like his or like hers. That didn't mean that they don't struggle. They struggle. It might mean that they find ways of victory, but it also may mean that there are times when they have a tear-soaked pillow because they have cried out to God. Why do I do the things that I shouldn't do and don't do the things that I should? And Paul is sharing this in transparency with those around him that he struggles with sin. And this struggle is not just a personal issue. It's a universal human experience that each and every one of us have. Every one of us. We all carry the burden of wanting to do what is right, but we often fall short due to the sinful nature that still resides within us. When I trusted Jesus, it was a great, great day in my life. But you know what? Evil didn't go away. It is persistent. It is nagging. It's like, you got to be my neighbor. If you've moved into Roy's life, I'm your neighbor. Maybe I hope and pray that you guys haven't, but some of y'all have probably had a neighbor along the way that was different, that was difficult. You know what I'm saying? You may have had that. You know, some of us have experienced that, and you sit back, and maybe you've even said, I'll tell you one thing, our neighborhood would be a whole lot better place if he or she didn't live here, or if they didn't live here. You didn't say it out loud. You don't want to admit it right now, but that's probably what you thought. And you have dreamed in your heart what it would be like if, you know, Joe and Sally, top-of-the-line Christian, moved in across the street from you and brought you muffins every morning. You've thought about what that's like. And we do that spiritually as well. Now, in Romans 7:18, Paul speaks very candidly about this struggle that he has within himself. He acknowledges the presence of the flesh. And that is something that you and I have to understand as well. Listen, in our society today, let me tell you, I'm gonna give you one of my pet peeve frustrations. Let me tell you what I see in society today is that we have become accustomed to looking the other way. And because we look the other way, we think if we don't see it, it's not there. And that's not true. Looking the other way doesn't solve anything. Not looking in the direction of your neighbor's house does not make them move. And yet that is what we do. Paul is acknowledging that there is the presence of the flesh in his life, which is inclined to sin. That's what the flesh wants you to do. The flesh wants you to sin. And then what he does, though, is Paul goes along and he contrasts that with the desire to perform good deeds, the desire to perform in a biblical manner. Now, insert this caveat, we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. However, faith without works is dead. You know what, I know for me, one of the things I want more than anything in this world is to please my Heavenly Father. I want to live like He wants me to live. I want to represent the family well. And I hope and pray that you guys do too. You know, that should be the desire of our heart. And yet what happens, there's this duality. I like that, it's a cool word. Duality means there's two things like going on. You got the old sinful nature, and then you got the new life spiritual nature through Christ that are attempting to coexist within you. And you know what that creates? You're ready for this big exegetical term or whatever you want to call it. It creates within you a tug of war. Remember tug of war? I don't think kids even know how to play that now because somebody will get hurt. Well, we piled up in the mud and everything else. Man, I played dodgeball. I know what it's like to feel that red rubber ball like come around your face. Red Rover, remember that one? How many broken arms were on that deal? We had a great, great time, didn't we? Right on, good generation. Different generation today. But yet, there's a tug of war that is going on. Who wins in tug of war? It's not spiritual. I'm not trying to trick you. All right, let me give you an example. If the football team is on one end of the rope, and not the football team is on the other end of the rope, who generally wins? The strongest. These guys over here, they're in the weight room every day, even during the summer. Man, they are pumping iron. These guys are not. And usually what happens is when the whistle blows, there's tension, and when the whistle blows, so listen, great, great concept. The strongest team wins. And within your life and my life, there is a spiritual tug of war that is going on. Guess which team wins? The strongest team. We call it, the spiritual side, we call it the new nature we have in Christ. And then there's the old sinful nature. Whichever one that you feed, whichever one you nurture, whichever one you take care of will be the one that will grow the strongest. Think about that for a minute. You know, if these guys over here ate, you know, steak and potatoes, every day, and over here they had bread and water, which one do you think is going to be strongest? Now think about that in that light for a minute, because it becomes incredibly important as we think about this. But there's this tug of war between the old self, and that old self is ruled by sin, and the new self is guided by the Spirit. And Paul is showing his vulnerability, and that highlights this fact. Get this, please hear this part. Paul is highlighting this because true transformation comes not from your own strength, but through the power of Christ. Did you just get that? You are not going to whip this on your own. We try to do that, don't we? I got this. There's pride that's involved in it. You can't win by yourself. You cannot beat the old nature by yourself. Only through the power of Christ will you prevail. We've tried it on our own, haven't we? It never, ever works. So what are some takeaways that we can take from our passage today about Paul? See, Paul's struggle is that we too must recognize our own weakness and persistent presence of our sinful nature. It does not go away. I just thought about something last week. Last week, I think I said, Satan walked in the door with you, and Mike was out there punching Case. I saw that. Satan shows up. Listen, he came into church with you today. He is trying to distract you. He is trying to get you to think about everything else. He is trying to get you mad with somebody that you may not have liked what they did or what they said or what they wore. And let me tell you something. When you come in, Satan stokes up the flame, because if he can get your mind on that, then your mind is not on the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. Wow. And we play right into it. You know why we do that? Because here's what happens. We love it when somebody affirms our opinion. That's why we do that. Have you ever been somewhere and you've said, I'll tell you one thing, I just don't like that person over there because of this, that, and the other thing. Don't you agree? And they look at you and say, no, I don't agree. They look at you like you got three heads. They've just messed up because you didn't agree with them. You didn't back them up in what they said. Let me tell you what else happens. They stop talking about that person in front of you. And yet, that's exactly what Satan's doing. He's sitting down there tapping y'all on the shoulder right now. He don't want you to hear what God has to say. He wants you distracted. He wants you to think about the old sinful nature. And he sits there and dangles it in front of you. Remember, this was fun. You can do it again. And you're sitting there going, no, I don't. That's the old me. That's the old nature. And I want to cater to the new nature. Now remember, whichever team you feed is the one that gets the strongest. We're not left in despair. But see, by relying on the grace and the strength of Jesus, we find the power to overcome. But that's the only way it can be done. You can't do it by yourself. It is crucial. That's a cool word. Write that one down. It's crucial. Crucial to engage in spiritual disciplines such as prayer, such as reading the scripture, such as Bible study, such as community fellowship. And in doing that, we strengthen our walk with God and resist the lure of sin. I hear it all the time. People say, well, you know what? I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I'm like, well, no, you don't, but you're going to be a poor one if you don't. I said, you are that lone wolf out there. You are that lone sheep. And every time somebody says that, you know, there are things that mark your life. You know how the Lord puts those things on your life? And I grew up in the days of Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins. How many of y'all remember him? Yeah, he was the early guy. And Marlon would sit out there, and of course that was, you know, when TV, it was educational, but it was real. But then you'll see Marlon sitting there in the Jeep somewhere, and he's like, hey, look, he goes, there's a sheep over there that's not with the pack. Watch what's going to happen. And then you see the predator, like, kind of cut it further away. And then the next thing you know, you got this cheetah trying to run this sheep down and just runs it down and eats it. You know why? Because he got away from the herd. It got away from what protected it. It got away from what looked over it. I said before, we always do better when we know somebody's watching, when we know that somebody is there. You want to be a lone wolf, you're treading in very dangerous territory. And I cannot express to you the reason why from this pulpit and for years and for decades we have touted, you need to be in the Word of God, not just on Sunday. Most of you can look at me and tell I don't eat just once a week. I eat multiple times a day. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, from the pulpit looking out through there, y'all don't eat just once a week either. We know how to get her done, don't we? But see, food to strengthen and nourish the body, in turn, we need to have food to nourish and strengthen the spirit. And if all you're getting is once a week, I'm worried about you. That's why it's great. Listen, I love the discipleship groups. I love being able to come together and we talk about what we've learned that week from God's Word. The times that Pastor David on Sunday night has opportunities to get into the Word that you might grow, to be able to teach our kids, to be able to come in here. That is the way that your tug-of-war side is strengthened on the spiritual side. If I were to ask you right now, how strong is the tug-of-war team in your life on the spiritual side, how would you answer that? I'm not going to ask you, but I'm asking you to answer it to yourself. Is the Lord going, yeah, we got this? Or is he going, you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it alone. And that's why I've said, take every opportunity that you can to be in the presence of godly people, to be in the presence of the Word of God, to be in the presence of serving with alongside each other and serving each other. Man, what a blessing that is. And when you do that, you can walk away encouraged. When you do that, your tug of war team wins. Yeah, the spiritual side pulls old Satan in the mud hole every single time. But that doesn't mean that you win one time and spend the rest of your life pumping your fist in the air and cheering, because there's another challenge coming. And another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and it goes on and on and on until we see him. How are you in your spiritual strength? How's the spiritual team in your life doing? As we wind down these thoughts today, Paul's message is not one of defeat, and I want you to know that. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we can be left when we walk out of here going, great, man, I came in today feeling pretty good. Now I'm walking out of here feeling horrible. But Paul's message to those that he was teaching wasn't a message of defeat, but it was a message of hope. And how many times in our lives do we need some hope? Our struggles are real, but they do not define us, right? I promise you this, that within the sound of my voice today, there are those that are struggling. There are those that are hurting. There are those that tears are coming out of their eyes. And you know what? You don't want anyone to know that because of pride. Do not isolate yourself from the solution, number one. The solution. Have you ever noticed that when people get in a situation like that, they usually run the opposite way from what they should go? Instead of running towards Jesus and God's people, they run the opposite direction. I've talked to people before and I said, man, look, we've been missing you, man. What happened? Well, everybody knows about what happened in my life, and I just didn't feel like I would be welcome in church. I'm like, that's the place you should feel most welcome. Now, see, here's the problem. The problem is they felt like they would be judged in the presence of God's people. And unfortunately, often they would be. Instead of running to Jesus, they run from him. We don't need that. We need to go get them. We need to go after them. You know, you get that relationship and love somebody so much, you are going to go after them. There are people you have in your life that way. You know, somebody tries to go down that trail, No, I'm going to come get you, whether you like it or not. No. No, you're not going to slip away that way. You can hate me all you want to, but you're going to have to hate me later, because right now I'm in your presence. And I've had those conversations before. I said, nope. Why don't you just leave me alone? Because I can't. Why not? Because I love you. Because you're my brother. They don't understand it at the time, but you know what? It's so ironic how later on they seem to understand. Our struggles are very real, but they do not define who we are. I like what Romans 8:37 says, that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. More than conquerors. So we need to embrace this truth, and we need to lean on him as we navigate the complexities of life. It's not a great place to be when you're in the middle of it. And how many days have you gone? I know that for me, I've gone on rants. I know that there are times that I've walked away and been frustrated. Times that I knew what God said that I should do and I didn't do it. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Or why didn't I do what God asked me to do? And then I go back to the Paul speech. Lord, why is it that I have so much trouble doing the things that you've asked me to do. But boy, the things I'm not supposed to do are really easy to accomplish. Makes me so frustrated and mad. But there's hope. Remember this. You cannot win the battle on your own. Only Jesus can bring victory in that battle. Brad, you guys come on up. You know, as we come together today, there's very interesting because a lot of us, we know exactly. We've been there. We might be in the middle of those struggles right now. But here's something that's even worse. There have been people who've sat back and said, you know what, I just don't feel like God's there at all. You know the most shocking statement that I say that kind of catches them by surprise? I said, maybe he's not. And then they look at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, the first question we have to answer is whether or not you are a child of his. Have you trusted him? Has there been that time when you have truly confessed and given your life to Jesus? And you wanted the personal relationship with him? Because see, no, most of the time what's happened is, well, I talked with the preacher, I filled out the card, I checked the box, I was baptized. I've done all these things, but don't have a relationship with Jesus. So I'm asking you a pointed question today. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you realized what he's done? Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? Do you believe that he ascended back to the Father and has gone to prepare a place for us? Do you believe that because of his shed blood and through that resurrection, sin, death, and hell has been conquered, and that by trusting him, when he says, you are my child, he has forgiven you of all your sins? Do you believe that? That goes a little bit further than I checked box A, isn't it? Now, if you have, are you wanting to cultivate that relationship with him? Are you wanting to walk with him and talk with him? Are you wanting to spend your days with him? Do you have conversation with him? I know sometimes driving down the road, it's better in today's society because everybody's got speakers in their car, you know, like you're on the phone and stuff. I mean, I've been having audible conversations with God. People used to look at me really weird, but now they just think I'm talking on the phone. I've driven down the road just praying out loud, praying for people, people that God's put on my heart. You know why? Because I like to talk. And y'all are going, no. I like to chat with God. He hadn't answered me back audibly, but I've talked to him audibly. But he answers me back right here. You know why? Because he's my Father and I love him. And I want to hang out with him as much as I can. And I want to do what the Father would have me to do. So the big question is this. Have you put your trust in Jesus? Are you one of his children? If not, you need to change that today. Like I said, it's not just going through a process. It is you inviting him into everything that you are. We talk and sing songs about where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who will open the door and let me come in, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Is the Lord knocking on your heart's door today in the way of salvation? I beg you, open the door. And some of you may say, well, how do you do that? You confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, help me live for you. You can simply bow your head where you are and say, Father, forgive me a sinner. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me live as one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's the handshake. You have just been introduced to the Father. You are saved, but he wants you to live like one of his children. And you know, today, a lot of us here are his children, but yet we have been losing the battle. We have been losing the struggle. The tug of war has pulled us in the mud. And here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is we haven't been hanging out with our source, our strength, and our coach in his word, in prayer. We haven't been enjoying life. We've been really, really selfish. You know, sometimes I know that there are people, when I've had conversations with it before, and oftentimes people don't understand how selfish they really are personally. They don't get it until it starts to be pointed out to them, not by me, but by the Holy Spirit in their life. And then all of a sudden they realize, you know what? I'm a doggone selfish person. And pretty much we are. We kind of like to take care of number one, don't we? We look after ourselves. But you know, when you begin to own that, and when you begin to trust Jesus, walk closer with him, things change. Your life is fulfilled. Every day when you get up, there's a smile on your face. Every time you get to see somebody, especially another brother or sister in Christ, your heart leaps for joy within you. Because we're going to do this together. Maybe we just need to say, Lord, here's a real spiritual term. Lord, I'm a mess. You ever prayed that before? Lord, I'm a mess. Lord, I know I should be doing these things, and I don't do the things that I should do, but I'm surely doing the things that I shouldn't do. Have your little rant in prayer with the Lord, because he's going to be going, But I can fix it. I can fix it. Will you trust him today to fix it? Man, would this world not be a better place if we could all walk in that path? If anybody's going to do it, it needs to be God's people, so that the world might look at us and say, I want to be like them. And when they come and say, what's different about you? Don't you dare say Central Baptist Church. Don't you dare, you better say, the thing that's different about me is Jesus Christ. That's what you want to point them to. And I promise it'll happen. Can you do that? Will you do that? Listen, if you need me, I'm here. If you trusted Jesus today, please let us know. Even if you're part of our online audience, we want to celebrate with you. You can let Dr. Cazito know. I like to watch him grin and giggle. He's got a unique giggle. If you've never been around him, when John giggles, I giggle because I love him, man. I just love to see him smile and giggle. If I see him smiling and giggling, that means one of y'all just sent him a message that says, hey, I trusted Christ today. But let us know. Listen, we're not going to embarrass anybody. That's not what we're here for. We want to help you get started on your journey of drawing close to God and strengthening Team Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe today you have kicked yourself again for the final time and said, you know, I know all this stuff. I know it. Known it for a long time, but my pride's held me back. Whatever you need to do, listen, the altar's here. I'm here. Whatever the need in your life is, whatever the Lord said to you today, make sure that you have it straight with him before you walk out of this place. You can do that now during our time of invitation. We're going to stand and sing number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, as Brad comes to lead us. your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you continue to seek the Master with what He has placed in your life today, I hope, I trust, and I pray that for each and every one of us, we can go out of this place today with peace in our hearts. Make sure you've got it right with Him. At this time, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we thank You again for the way that You provide in our hearts and our lives. Lord, the ways that we see, but Lord, we're also grateful for the things that we don't see, the provision that You have provided in the invisible realm of our lives. But Father, right now, here's another time yet to worship as we have come together, because to return to You the tithe and the offering is truly an act of worship. I pray, Father, that as You observe what we do, that it will be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, may You bless the gift as well as the giver, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Vicki. Before I get into the announcements, I've got some folks that I want to introduce you to. I'm going to get them to come on up here. I'm going to put my eyes back on because I blow my stuff up to where it looks like a billboard up there when I see it. That's why I do that. Marty and Sandra Chapman, you have seen them. Come on up here for just a minute. You have seen them around here. You have loved on them, and I have no idea why she married him, but... I do, because he's an Andy Griffith fan. We could get together and we could talk trivia all day. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think he'll win, because he knows some stuff that I don't. So I'm going to try to get to his level at some point. But they are coming today to request membership in Central Baptist Church. They have both trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They have followed in believers' baptism by immersion, and they are coming to us by letter of transfer. So do I hear a motion? They be received. Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming say a big amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give you a chance to greet them. And Judy, I just love your enthusiasm. Would you do me a favor? Would you walk them back to the door so folks will have a chance? You get to hug Judy, too. She's going to hug you. I'll tell you that. So come on up. We'll give you a chance to greet Marty and Sandra. You got my Sandra, right? Okay. Because sometimes when people... I got you. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Like I said, it's when Jimmy and I are actually driving for North Carolina Baptist Home Missions, I think every driver's name is Jimmy. So you have to qualify which Jimmy that is. Come on up here, Judy. Oh, she's grabbing her money or something is what it is. Everybody's already. Well, go ahead. I want you to go ahead and take them on back there to the door right now. Yeah. So you'll get a chance to greet them on the way out. Be sure to welcome them. And listen, we look forward to serving together. Amen. God is good. And all the time. I'm going to give that back to the clerk that we need to give it back to. I'm going to give you a couple of announcements and get you out of here. I am trying my best. I got 6 minutes before it's 12 o'clock. So. Here we go. Just a few things that we've got going on. Birthdays we've got coming up this week. Mike Harrell will have a birthday tomorrow. Another trip around the sun. So be sure to wish Mike a happy birthday. Wednesday, Jonathan Cazito. So that would be Little John, not Big John. That's the son, Little John. Okay. He has a birthday coming up on Wednesday. And then we have an anniversary coming up this week on Thursday. Rick and Millie Bailiff will be celebrating. What number is this? Somewhere around 32. Take your shoes off, Rick. It'll be all right. You can count them up. 93. Okay. 32, 33 years. You know, we're all good at math, but at any rate, they've been together long enough that they can't even count anymore. So at any rate, listen, be sure to congratulate Rick and Billy on their upcoming anniversary. And I believe it was either yesterday or today that your daughter and new son-in-law will be leaving for their honeymoon. Is it today? Oh, they've made it there. Okay. Gotcha. They left yesterday. So the newlyweds are now in Greece enjoying their time together. So what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Phenomenal wedding, which was not this weekend, but it was the weekend before. So what a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Rick and Millie just did such a wonderful job with everything that they had a part of. So I appreciate you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. Just a couple things we've got going on for today. 4:45 choir rehearsal as normal. 6 o'clock p.m. will be adult Bible study with Pastor David down the hall there on the left. And then we always call it 7 p.m. band rehearsal. Is that going to be no band rehearsal tonight? Okay, I noticed Jimmy's absent, so no band rehearsal tonight. Normally that will be at 7. Be ready to come back next week, ready for that, but not tonight. All right, this coming Friday, just as a reminder, starting at 5 o'clock on Friday evening until Sunday at around 8 a.m., they're continuing to do the reworking on the floors in the fellowship hall or in the Family Life Center over there. So basically from 5 o'clock p.m. Friday till 8 a.m. Sunday, if you don't need to be in the building, please don't, because they're redoing the hallway floors and having the floor restoration being done there. You don't want to be walking through wax and everything else. So anyway, again, Friday, 5 p.m. through Sunday. Then Ladies Connections coming up on September the 3rd. That is your next meeting in the FLC 116. And then your breakfast is actually going to be on 9/11 at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue. Now, we also want to mention that our church picnic is coming up on September the 7th. That is usually held at Triad Park. We will get out there, have the blessing, and we just enjoy a time, a good old hamburgers and hot dogs and some fellowship together. You know what shelter we're at yet? Is it Shelter 6? That's when you go in, go to the left, and then swing around right there up on the right. Okay, so it'll be Shelter 6. But do us a favor. There's a sign-up sheet back there. If you would, please let us know what you can bring. I think the church takes care of the hamburgers and the hot dogs. We do like sides and desserts and that sort of thing. So, hot dog chili. Somebody can chop up onions. I know it'll make you cry, but chop up some onions and coleslaw. Because you got to have chili, slaw, and onions on a hot dog, don't you? I mean, I think that's a law. I think that's in Leviticus somewhere, that you got to have chili mustard and slaw, chili onions, chili mustard and slaw on a hot dog. So those sorts of things, desserts, whatever. There's a sign-up sheet back there that you can put down there. Again, that's going to be on September the 7th right after our service, and there is a sign-up sheet. Don't forget the blood drive is coming up September the 9th, 2:30 to 6:45, and Awana, make a note of this, Awana restarts on September the 14th. When we hit September, everything starts cranking back up coming out of summer. So September the 14th, Awana will start back up beginning at 5:30. We could still use some volunteers. If you can volunteer, please see my wife, Jana. That's her over there. And then our D-Life groups, they will start back up as well. Mine starts on the 14th at 3:30, and then Steve's will start on the 15th, which is on Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. So for those two groups, we're actually beginning our study in the Old Testament, so be brushed up on the first five chapters of Genesis as we lead into the 14th. Now, have I forgotten anything? I'm sure I probably have. See, if we're late, it's David, because it's 11:59, and I'm getting ready to turn it over to him. Come on up and see us off in a word of prayer, David. Love you guys, appreciate you. And as always, we say hello to Miss Don Ree, who's probably watching, my mama, who's probably watching. We're praying for you, Miss Don Ree. We love you. We certainly miss you, but we're holding you in our prayers.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today. God, help us to take this message and apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, help us not to get discouraged when Satan attacks us and accuses us. But Lord, help us remember that you have never stopped loving us, and we should never stop loving you. Lord, bless us as we go from this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.